Romans 5. I'm going to read from the NLT some words from Romans 5, and then we're going to talk a little bit together, just for a few minutes. Romans 5, verse 6 says this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Condemnation, think of it as severe disapproval. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I want to reveal something today of the greatest miracle Jesus ever did. And that was to save us from sin through his death and give us brand new life through his resurrection. And you might go, oh, not all this old stuff again. You're not going to talk about Jesus and death and resurrection again, are you? Yes, I am. And hallelujah. Because, you know, this is a subject that we need to keep coming back to again and again, to be convicted of, to be refreshed by, to be to enjoy what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to radically change lives, saving us from sin and death and from the wrath of God. We were not right with God, and it's through Jesus that we have been saved. So, what am I going to talk about this morning? I want to talk a little bit about weight training. I have been going to the gym for much longer than I've not been going to the gym. So, for over 20 years. And this is what you get for 20 years hard work. It's amazing. It was worth it. And this is the gym that I go to. At Chesterton, this is one of many gyms I've been to over the years, and I do cardiovascular, but I do lift weights, believe it or not, and I enjoy lifting weights. It's not entirely obvious that I've ever lifted a weight at all, but I do enjoy it, and I kind of enjoy it because of some of the films that I used to see and television programs that I used to see in the 80s. There was two people in the 80s who were kind of famous weight trainers. And they kind of set the tone for kind of making weight training popular. And then I discovered I was so skinny that it was completely pointless. But we recognise this person, don't we? Who's that? Arnie. He doesn't quite look like that anymore. It's all gone a bit south for Arnie, I'm afraid. And this is the other one. Who recognises this person?
Lou Ferrigno.
That was very quick. Did everyone hear that? It's Lou Ferrigno. Who was famous for playing the Hulk. And there he is, the Hulk. There he is. Look at that. With his best haircut ever. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to need a volunteer for what I'm doing this morning. I need someone who thinks they're fairly strong. Does anyone think they're strong today? Tommy, who weight trains. Come on, Tommy, up you come. Right. Now, here we go. Tommy, I'm going to ask you to do something. And if you hurt yourself, it's your own fault, okay? Just want to make that really publicly clear now. No suing. Right? If this gets heavy, use both hands or you know, don't break anything trying to lift stuff, okay? Do you know what? In life, it's not easy to carry weight around, is it? Can you hold this for me? Could you hold it out like that? Yeah? Is that all right? If you need two hands, use two hands. If it gets too heavy, kind of bring it into the body, all right? But I want to talk a little bit about the effect of sin in our life. Because I think one of the things that sin does, it adds weight to us. You know, God made us to be free. God made us to live in freedom. God made us to run free, to live expansively without having to carry weight around. And yet what sin does, it makes us... This is not too heavy for you. This is about 2 kilos. Can you manage that?
No,
look at these big arms for these. No, it's fine. But do you know what? With sin in our lives, we often end up carrying far more weight than we would possibly want to carry. Sorry, buddy. and our whole lives become about carrying lots of weight. Here we go. Put those on just to make sure they don't. How are you coping with that?
A lot heavier.
It's a lot heavier, isn't it? Now, that you wouldn't want to carry that all the time, would you? You wouldn't want to carry that kind of weight. But if sin is our weight, we can't get rid of it. Once you've got it, it's kind of stuck on you. Human beings can't get rid of the weight on their own. They need help. Bring another arm in. Bring another arm in. Here we go. 2 arms. Because it's only going to get heavier. You know what? Removing weight is only a job that God can do. But so often, lots of us try and kind of live with the weight of sin. We kind of just try and get over it, don't we? We try and just kind of get on with our kind of lives and you know, do normal stuff. And we live with the guilt and we live with the consequences. You see, sin comes with consequences. And the weight of sin comes with consequences as well. How are you getting on? How are you finding this now?
Heavy.
Look at these guns. They're like that. Amazing. But it's getting heavy, isn't it? We've just... Yeah, for goodness sake, put it up, will you? I asked for someone strong, for goodness sake. You know, God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Christ we are saved from the weight of sin. We are saved from that through what Jesus has done. But you know what? Some of us don't really recognise what Jesus has done for us. And so we carry on sinning and we start to live even more with the consequences of our sin. And so, you know, we end up having to do life with a huge amount of consequence because of the sin that we are holding in us. Hold it there. Do you know the choice for us today? The choice for us today. You're always going, sorry, it was a setup, really. Sorry, mate. It was a setup. You did very well. Do you know what? This is the power of what Christ does in our life. Who wants to live weight free? I want to live free in the way that Christ intended for me to be. So when we come to the cross, when we come to Christ, when we come to Jesus, we can be guaranteed that this is what's going to happen. Okay, this is really serious, guys. This is what happens when we come to Christ. Not just some weight is removed. Not even 2/3 of the weight is removed. The weight of sin. That sin going. When we come to Christ, all of our sin is removed. Hallelujah. Thank you, mate. Thank you. And that's the choice for everyone today. What are we doing with our knowledge about Jesus? Are you still carrying stuff? Wasn't it great what Jack did with this? You know, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and yet as Christians, so often we continue to carry around the weight and the consequences of sin in our lives. Isn't it great to know that we can come to the cross again and again and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness that I have in you. Thank you for the freedom that I have in you. Will your new life continue to be in me? Would your life raise up more and more in me? It's the greatest miracle that's ever happened for us to live weight free. What do you reckon?
One of my favourite places in the world is on the Isle of Man. It's Glenmay Beach, and it is the place where one of my favorite experiences took place. I have some lovely and very, very dear friends dotted around the world. And one of them, my friend Alison, was heading out to Kenya to do missionary work many years ago now, about 28 years ago. And she said that she wanted to be baptized by full immersion. And so we went to the Isle of Man to have a short holiday with her, and we baptized her on Glenmay Beach, this beautiful place. And the church, her church, all came down to enjoy the baptism in the sea. It was far from smooth. First of all, me and my friend Chris, who were doing the baptism, walked out into the sea, and Chris just disappeared. I was looking around. I said, I honestly don't know where he is. And he had fallen slightly, cut his foot, and had gone under the water. And we managed to drag him up. And we went, regrouped ourselves, had another go at it. And when we baptized Al in that freezing water, as she came up from the water, two seals popped up next to us, and their nostrils did that flary thing, and we immediately made the joke about God giving it the seal of approval. Oh, it was great at the time, and yet it doesn't seem to be now. Anyway, what then happened was this: we came in, Chris was injured, I was helping him up the beach, and Al came out and stood on the edge of the shore, just where the waves were breaking, and all of her church came down the beach, and they gathered around her, and there they were in their best Sunday finery, putting their hands on Al and praying for her. And at that moment, and I've often used this as an example of our wonderful Lord's great sense of humor, an enormous wave, like no other, just came zooming in. And me and Chris saw it coming. We looked and thought, goodness, that's a big wave. And it crashed over all of them. And there was a great roar of laughter. There was so much joy in the occasion. People came running up the beach, laughing and giggling, looking down at what was once a pair of expensive brogues, and now was salt damaged and ready for the bin. No, it was just marvelous. But what I want to say to you today, and a little thought I want you to take away in this very brief talk, is every so often God loves to send a wave. Every so often God loves to send a wave. He does something similar with his Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, we are told in God's word that the Holy Spirit makes his dwelling place within us. He comes into our lives. He empowers us. He starts a work within us that is brought to a conclusion. But sometimes the Holy Spirit comes as a wave. The Holy Spirit comes in power and strength, and a meeting can feel this wave. A group of people can receive this great outpouring and special blessing of the Holy Spirit as he comes in like a wave form. The Lord loves to send a wave. Why does it happen? There are a number of reasons. Let me read you something from Acts 2, 3 and 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to do certain things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes to amaze people or convict them that they're doing something terribly, terribly wrong. Maybe you have been trapped in sin. Maybe some awful thing is happening in your life, and the Holy Spirit comes, and as this wave strikes, you are suddenly convicted. That might even be the moment that you give your life to Christ. And sometimes the Holy Spirit comes to do this to reassure people of God's presence and God's control. Many years ago, there was a an event, I suppose you could call it, which was referred to as the Toronto Blessing. And it caused controversy. For those of you who don't know what it was all about, there was a church near the airport in Toronto where all of a sudden people started having this incredible experience. They were falling down. They were laughing uncontrollably. They were doing all kinds of what many people thought was strange things. And people asked the question, honestly, can this be of God? A friend of mine was very, very skeptical about this and said, I don't think so. And he was in Oxford, and one of the people who had been involved in Toronto came over to Oxford and said that they were going to be speaking in this church and talking a bit about what was called the Toronto Blessing. And so my friend John went along to that, and he went along to kind of have his skepticism confirmed. He thought, I bet you when I hear all about this and the truth about it, I will soon be able to fathom what's been going on. And John went along to this church, and he said the chap actually who was speaking said very little indeed. He simply stood up and said, there we were in the church. We had an incredible time, and I've come today to pray that the Lord brings that incredible time to you as well. And John said what happened next was initially one of the most disconcerting and then one of the most wonderful experiences of his life. He said that this man stood at the front and prayed and said, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit. And prayed in those terms, and suddenly all the people that John knew from church and had known regularly started just falling down in front of him. And John said it was like a wave coming towards him. And it was scary because he was looking and thinking, those people are falling over. What's going to happen to me? John phoned me straight after this experience. He said that as the wave kind of came to him, he felt an astounding euphoria. He felt a joy like he'd never felt before in his life. And he found himself flat on his back. It wasn't something that he was expecting. And he said it was as if the entire world was seen through a slightly red veil. He gave a very vivid and dynamic description of it for me. And he said he also was aware that he was laughing and filled with overwhelming joy. His conclusion at the end was simply, I believe it was just a lovely blessing from the Lord. It was just something wonderful that the Lord did for us then. Remarkable. How does it happen? How does that kind of thing come about? The Bible's really clear about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does what he wants whenever he wants to do it. He works graciously. And so the Holy Spirit is not commanded or called upon to do things by feeble human prayers and minds. But there are certain actions that we read about in God's word which seem to get us in the way of the wave, which seem to put us in the way of the blessing. First of all, Acts 1, 4 and 5. Listen to this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So waiting is important. Waiting on God. Waiting for the blessing that the Lord promised. Because the Lord does indeed promise his Holy Spirit. And just a few verses on, in Acts 1 and verse 14, we read these words. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So waiting and praying are two very Christian things that we can do. They are things that often we don't do. We don't much like waiting. In fact, everything is geared around us not waiting. I laughed at a comedian who pointed out that Amazon now does one-click buying. You used to have to click one or two buttons, but even that was too inconvenient. You can just click buy it now and it's delivered straight away. I see it, I want it, it's mine. Two clicks is too much. One click is what I want. Amazon, get that sorted out. And yet, what does the Lord tell us? He says we are to wait and we are to pray. Jesus refers to it sometimes as watching in prayer. So that's how it comes about. Lastly, and by no means least, does it happen very often? It doesn't seem to happen very often, but it does happen. There was an occasion just about 60 years ago in Barvas, the Barvas Revival, where Peggy and Christine Smith, who were both in a terrible state physically. Peggy was blind. She couldn't see at all. Christine, her sister, was bent double with arthritis and they could not get to church. But they turned their house into a house of prayer. They prayed constantly for the young people on the island of Barvas, just in the far north of Scotland. They prayed for the young people and they believed that they received a revelation from God. And incredible things started happening. They sent down to London for Duncan Campbell, an evangelist, to come up and start preaching. People who reported what became known as the Barvas Revival falsely and incorrectly said that Duncan Campbell came and brought revival to the island of Barvas. He himself, in a famous radio interview, said, "I did no such thing. God said to me, I'm doing something. If you want to be a part of it, go up there. If you don't, I'm doing it anyway." Which is how the Lord seems to do things so often. He calls us in to wonderful things he's doing. And what happened next was the stuff of great British legend. It's remarkable. It was beautiful. There was a prayer meeting, for example, one of countless incidents. And a blacksmith decided that he was called upon to pray, and he prayed aloud in a prayer meeting at just gone midnight. He started to pray. He prayed for 30 minutes. And at the end of his prayer, people said that the building shook. People actually thought there had been an earthquake. They left the building and found outside the place where they were praying, there were people with chairs who had taken them from their homes and had come to sit and hear the word of God preached. Apathy was shaken. It was remarkable. There was an occasion when Campbell was walking around doing all kinds of things and he got a very frosty reception from one particular village. And when he went to see Peggy and Christine, Peggy said, "I'm told by God you've to go to that village and you've to preach there." And Duncan Campbell said, "No, I don't think I will, because I got quite a frosty reception there last time." Sometimes you do get a frosty reception. This is what Peggy did. She got down on her knees and prayed aloud, "Lord, you remember what you told me this morning, that in this village you are going to save 7 men who will become pillars in the church of my fathers. Lord, I've given your message to Mr. Campbell, and it seems he's not prepared to receive it. Oh Lord, give him wisdom, because he badly needs it." And so he said, "All right, Peggy, I'll go to the village." When he went there, he found a large bungalow in the village was overflowing with people who had just gathered expectantly to hear the word of God preached. The Holy Spirit had gone ahead and had prepared the ground, and he met those 7 men that Peggy said he would meet. It's just astounding when the Lord does these incredible things. And perhaps one of the most lovely is the young man who went along to a prayer meeting and then suddenly wondered why they were there. He said, "We're all praying here, but wait just a moment." And he said, "Have a look at this, Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, it begins with these words, Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. And this young man looked round and said, everything we're doing is, and I quote, so much humbug to be waiting here and praying as we are, if we are not rightly related to God. And in Campbell's description, he wrote these words. Then lifting his hands toward heaven, he cried, O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? He got no further, but fell to the floor. An awareness of God filled the room. A stream of supernatural power seemed to be let loose in everyone's lives. They had moved into a new sphere of God realization, believing implicitly his promise of revival. Remarkable words. Sometimes God sends a wave, and he calls us to wait and to pray and to be earnest in doing so.